King Solomon, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ecclesiastes 7, wrote this. He said, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting." It's counterintuitive logic in our world today, but that is what Solomon says. That's what the scripture says. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. The house of mourning, meaning sadness and grief. "For this is the end of all mankind," Solomon says, "and the living will lay it to heart. The heart of the wise," says Solomon, "is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Why would Solomon say this? What does he mean by these words? What Solomon means is that there is great wisdom available and offered to those who do not avoid the reality of death. There is great insight available and offered to those who gather in the house of grief, the house of mourning, to acknowledge and remember the dead. Because as Solomon says, when we gather in the house of mourning, we are affirming together, implicitly, and I'm saying it out loud right now, the difficult but unavoidable truth that death is the one absolutely certain experience that waits for all of us. In this room, we'll all have diverse experiences over the remainder of our lives, but all of us will experience death. To die is the end of all mankind, Solomon says. And the living who are wise, says Solomon, will lay this to heart. They will ponder their own mortality, their own coming death, as they gather in the house of grief and mourning. They will consider their own certain confrontation with the grave. For one day we will be the deceased. We will. You and me, all of us. One day our friends and family will gather for us in the house of mourning as we have gathered for less today. One day we will face death not as an observer, but a participant. That is the kind of wisdom that is offered to us this morning. That kind of truthfulness, that kind of humility. The prophet, as we heard already, the prophet Moses in Psalm 90 describes human life in this way. He says, "Our lifespan is like a dream." That's what Moses says. "And we are like grass that grows in the morning and withers by evening." The years of our life are 70, Moses says. Or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is full of toil and trouble. And they are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, Moses says to God, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Implicit in Moses' prayer is that there is an alternative way to live, a way of folly instead of wisdom. The way of folly is to avoid the mention of death, to pretend as though we won't die, to surround ourselves always with mirth and laughter and lightness, and never consider the stark reality of our mortality. But the scriptures paint a different path. They invite us, they encourage us, they exhort us to number our days, to gain a heart of wisdom by living as though we truly believe that we will one day also die. But we must not only be prepared for death itself, we must also be prepared for what comes after death. And what comes after death, according to the scriptures, is judgment. Judgment by the living God. The God who has the right to judge all humanity, for he is the God who made all things, who made heaven and earth. He is the God who is eternal, the God who sees and remembers all. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, all of us must appear for judgment before Christ, Paul says, all of us, no exceptions, no opting out, from the most powerful presidents and kings to the poorest beggars, from the children who died early in their youth to the men or women who lived long, healthy lives. All of us, every human person who has ever lived, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And when we stand in that place, as we will, to be evaluated, to be judged by the Lord Jesus, where will we find our consolation? It can't be in some notion or idea that we were a good person, that we did above average. That can't be our consolation. That can't be what we count on when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. No one is righteous, the scriptures declare in Romans 3. No one does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Friends, the only hope we have to be prepared for the judgment seat of God is not in our supposed goodness, but rather in acknowledging our need, acknowledging our sinfulness, and then casting ourselves on the mercy of Jesus Christ, walking in His way as He commands us, repenting of our sin, following His commands, embracing Him by faith as our Savior and our Lord and Master. As the Apostle Paul puts it, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. This is the hope for sinners, that they would be justified by the grace of God as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Paul says, whom God put forward as a propitiation, as a covering by His blood to be received by faith. That is our hope. That alone is our hope before the judgment seat of Christ, not in ourselves, heaven forbid, not in us, but in Jesus. And the blood of Jesus spilled on our behalf for our sin at the cross, and the grace of Jesus offered to us by His Spirit as a gift that can only be received in this way, through a wholehearted faith and trust that is expressed through our repentance and submission to Jesus as our Lord. In God's grace and mercy, Les knew this hope. That's why I'm speaking about it today. In God's grace and mercy, God opened Les's eyes to his sinfulness and his need. In God's grace and mercy, God rescued Les through his surrender of his life to Jesus Christ. On the day after Les died, several weeks ago, his widow, Francie, a member of our congregation, wrote this moving testimony of how God and His mercy had rescued Les. She wrote, July 22nd, 2025 was one of the most painful days of my life, yet the most joyful. At 8:10 a.m. yesterday, Les Moore went to be with the Lord and to live eternally in peace in heaven. Les suffered from congestive heart failure, type 2 diabetes, and coronary artery disease. He had three heart attacks from 2012 to 2022, which resulted in the destruction of 75% of his heart. He had been in hospice for the past 2 years, and we lived a restricted life. Yet when he passed, it wasn't because any of that. It was an act of love Les did for me that resulted in his passing. You say an act of love? Yes. Les was a man of few words and fewer emotions. Love was not something shown often, him towards me or me towards him. We were married 21 years on March 17th, 2025, a goal neither of us thought we would make. We were done with each other, tired, and I was speaking of divorce often. And then one day when we found out he had to go on daily insulin to live, which he had rejected before, our marriage and our lives changed. And here's how Francie says their lives changed. God stepped into our life and changed me. God took a woman who was bitter, unloving, unforgiving, and done, and changed her heart from stone to flesh. I fell in love with Les again and made him the focus of my love. He allowed me to help him manage his health issues and to care for him. One day, following a massive angina attack, that is a false heart attack, where we thought his life was over, Les surrendered. What happened to Francie happened to Les. Les surrendered and gave his life to the Lord. From that day on, Francie writes, we loved each other deeply. He worried about me. He told me, I love you and thank you 1,000 times more than in the prior 20 years together. You see, God saved his life, saved our marriage, and deepened our love for each other. And then on Friday morning, July 18th, in his love for me, he was taking the recycle bin to the curb so I wouldn't have to. He took a fall, which resulted in a brain bleed, which eventually took his life from here to eternity. He passed peacefully, with no pain. Family members had said their goodbyes and are peaceful with his passing. He left as a loving husband, father, and grandfather, and he was deeply loved by all of us. As Francie testifies, what happened to Les was real. It was a heart change, not just external, it was internal as well. God stepped in and saved him. Les gave himself in humility to Jesus, to Jesus in response to God's grace. He surrendered, Francie says rightly, and gave his life to his Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus transformed him through his union with Les into a person who was different, who was humble and sincere and loving. Because of God's grace to him and Jesus, Les was changed into a man who was reoriented in his affections toward his wife and toward others out of gratitude and love for Jesus. And Les, through God's grace, in this gift that God gave him, became a man who was then prepared to die. That's the real thing. A man who was ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as he knew he would. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my friends. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. In Christ, Les was made a new creation through his union with Jesus. In Christ, Les was given hope in the face of his illness. In Christ, God forgave Les his sins and prepared him for the judgment to come. And so as we close this morning, friends, I just want to say this. No matter who you are today or what your relationship to God is like, even if you haven't prayed or been to church in a long time, this same grace and mercy in Jesus Christ that was given to Les is offered to you today. The forgiveness of your sins, the transformation of your heart, the opportunity to face your day of death without fear, the confidence to stand before the judgment seat of Christ This is offered to you this day. Listen again to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and know that He speaks to you today. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me, shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, whoever you are, this offer is given to you this day, for He is the bread of life. He is the fulfillment of your hopes and desires. Believe in Him and receive eternal life. For this Jesus, the Son of God, will not cast you out if you come to Him. No, He will raise you up in the resurrection on the last day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would be merciful to us, that through the preaching of Your word we would consider our own lives and our own place before You, and that You would be gracious to us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.